Auburn dominates Mississippi State without Jani Broome, but they have another tough road test here this weekend. Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops Podcast. It's Kyle Rush and Zepp Jasper, and we are ready to talk about this Auburn basketball team that, dadgummit, they just keep winning. No matter what happens, they just keep winning. And, Zepp, they got back on the domination train. They had a couple of close calls, and then they just go ahead and blow out the Mississippi State Bulldogs by 22, another quad one win by 20 points. It's kind of a joke now. Auburn stays undefeated in conference play, goes to 9-1 on the year in quad one games, and then obviously 13-14-0 overall, something crazy. So, man, Zepp, they just keep winning. I know you watched the game. Auburn looked good even without Jani Broome. Talk about the things you saw and what impressed you most about that game Tuesday.
What impressed me the most is the team came out like straight from the jump. They stood on business. It's like, I know we're missing Jani Broome. Mississippi State thought it was going to be one of those games where they don't have Jani Broome. They can't do nothing without Jani Broome. But those guys stepped up. I mean, from 1 to 10 people on the bench that played in the game, it was a terrific game from the beginning to the end. Chad Baker Mazzara came out with the energy from the jump. He let them know, like, I'm here. I'm here to play today. And Chaney Johnson was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. He impressed me so much that game because I was like, oh, it's going to be a little tough without Jani. But they impressed me so much. I was really proud of them dudes.
Yeah. So you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys in double digits. You mentioned Chad leading everybody with 20 points. Chaney was 17. Zepp, are you a gambling guy? You're a gambling man. You ever throw some down every now and then? I got a question for you. If I would have said, okay, Zepp, I want you to bet on the over under here. Okay, I want you to add up Chaney Johnson and Dylan Cardwell's fouls in the first half. Okay, and do you think it's going to be over or under 1.5? How much money would you have lost betting that over?
I would have lost a lot of money because if it was me, I would have said definitely it'd be an over.
Yeah.
Definitely. Most definitely. But going into the game, looking at the game, those guys didn't foul.
No, and exactly.
We know Dylan Caldwell is very foul prone. He stood in the paint. He stayed in that game. He was aggressive. He blocked shots. Shout out to Chaney Johnson because that guy was trying to go like that guy. I seen that guy try to bully guys and go at guys, but I seen the fear in Matthews. At the 10 minutes, I seen the fear.
You can see it on
him. I studied the game, and when I studied it, he tried Chaney Johnson 4 times. After those 4 times. He was scared. He didn't want to even go to the basket. He wasn't himself. It's like Chaney Johnson was a ghost, and he couldn't get past that ghost.
That's so funny. Yeah, so I say all that. They combined. So Auburn held Mississippi State to 27 points in the first half, and Chaney and Dylan had combined 1 foul in the first half. That is incredible. I would have lost my house, my mortgage, my cars. I'd have lost everything on that bet. Because I would have thought we were going to be in foul trouble pretty quickly after that tip off. But gosh, they just they played so daggum good. You're right. Chad jumped out, hit 2 threes right out the gate, and just basically said, "We don't have to run this through Jani. Just run it through me, and I'm going to steal it. I'm going to block it. I'm going to pass it. I'm not going to turn it over, and I'm going to shoot it, and I'm going to frustrate him." And he did that. He's having an incredible year. It's his sort of – and they talked about this a little bit in the post game, how teams – Chad is known to kind of wear his emotions on his sleeve. So other teams play into that. They'll hit him. They'll push him. They'll pull on him. They'll do things to try to get him, get a reaction out of him, get him kind of going. And I figured out what he's done, Zep, to be able to vent without getting in trouble. And eventually he's going to get in trouble for this, but where I'm going with this, what he does.
I like to hear.
So it's whenever the ball's going out of bounds, he will turn around and just, he'll go out of bounds and he'll turn around, and he's done it like 5 times this year, and just like he'll just drill somebody, throw it way too hard to go off of the defender, and so it'll go out like he's saving it, throwing it off of him. That's how he's getting back. I think that's how he's getting back at him, but staying out of trouble. That's how he's kind of venting, because you'll see he's smiling after the fact. That's how he's staying sane, I think, throughout the game.
Most definitely, you hit a target on. I wasn't thinking at first, but that's the reason why Matthews is pretty mad. Because after the play, Chad Beckham-Mazar decided to take his anger out
Oh.
and act like he's throwing the ball at Matthews to get the ball to go out of bounds, even though it was a foul call already.
Yeah.
He did that to get under his skin,
Yeah.
to have one of those moments, but he did it in a sly way. He's doing that this year to
Yes, he
stay
is.
out of trouble. But Matthews was like, "Hey, you ain't finna do that to me. Like, this ain't that. Like, I'm a bully. You know what I mean? Like, it's been games I seen Matthews. We didn't play against this guy. He's been like, he didn't
He's
win
been
at
there
one
for
of
a
the team.
decade.
He's been there
He's
for a
been
decade, but he's a tough guy.
Yeah, he
He
is.
didn't say something to one of my teammates before, and I really ain't like it. But I had to
What
go along. Had to go
he
along
says
with.
that? What he says that?
He was like, you don't want to me,
Yeah.
you don't want to, And I was like, I was
Who
like,
do you
looking.
say that to?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember who it was, but it was somebody on that team that do a lot of trash talking.
Yeah.
And I looked over. I'm like, hey, who is he talking to?
Melendez was yapping too. I don't remember him, but he was mad too. They got under his skin. RJ Melendez,
Oh yeah, he's.
he's been in college for a while too, but
He
he played at Illinois, then he played at Georgia, and now he's at Mississippi State for his last year. But yeah, they got under his skin too.
yeah.
That's just what they do, man. When they're stealing it from you, 10 blocks,
10
10
blocks.
blocks, and that's without Janai. I mean, 10 blocks in one game. And who do you think the most of them are probably who? Who would you think most of them are?
Dylan, you would
Dylan.
think. You would
Yeah.
think Dylan, but
Yeah.
Chaney Johnson was.
Dylan had two of those 10. Chaney had four. Chad had two. Denver had a big one. Ja'Kai had one. Everybody, it was a block party. Everybody was getting in the mix.
Block party.
They were getting after it. This was another surprise, and this is somebody stepping up with Janai out. Who would you guess is the leading rebounder? Who would you guess is the leading rebounder in that game with Janai out?
If I had to guess,
Yeah.
I probably would take
I mean,
Chaney Johnson. I
you're
probably
gonna
would take
take you're gonna take
Chaney
Chaney or Dylan like
or
nine times out
Dylan.
of ten, right?
Yeah.
Miles Kelly, 10 rebounds. Miles Kelly with the double double.
Double double.
He's a sneak. Every time he's out there, he's doing the dirty work. He's not just a finesse player that's just trying to be out there and shoot threes. Although he does do that, he will shoot. He has a green light from anywhere. But he, yeah, 10 rebounds, did the dirty work, and showed up and showed out. It's just, man. This is probably one of the more efficient offensive nights they've had all year, and they did it without Janai. I mean, it's hard to find like a real weakness. We keep talking about it. Maybe they're going on a little skid the last two games, but no, they just go out there and handle business.
They went out and handled straight business. They went out like, we got a job to do. Mississippi State rank. We without
Yeah.
Janai, but this don't mean nothing. Everybody put y'all boots on. Get ready to go in space.
Yeah.
Get ready to come back down and let them know we still here.
Bruce is a motivator, man. I've heard some stuff that he said to them pregame, and I'm sure it fired him up, fired them up. Talk about Bruce as a motivator. Like, is he like a Is it more like a you're intimidating type of motivation, or is it like I'm motivating you, like I don't want to let my dad down kind of thing? Like what, how, talk about him as a motivator and like what all that, like how all that works, I guess, for to get up for a game like this.
Well, BP is one of those motivators that, being a player playing from him, being a dog, coming from where I come from, like me personally, I believe he's one of those guys I want to run through a brick wall for. Like if I see a wall right there,
Yeah.
like hearing one of his speeches, it really get me prepared to really run through anything. Like if I hear one of his speeches, I believe I can go on the football field and catch any touchdown I want to. I feel like I can guard anybody on the field. I feel like I can guard anybody on the court. I
Yeah.
like when he talks with like motivation. He gives you that give, that drive, that grit, that toughness, that like, okay, I don't feel no, I don't feel bad for no one. But if
Yeah.
it's one game I want this one.
Yeah.
Like he wanna take it all. Like he don't give no remorse. He don't care who you are. He's BP and he knows that. He knows his deal is to get my team ready and get them guys going and come with the win.
Love it. I love it. Still shooting the three at just an incredible rate, 41% for the night. They're still shooting. They're actually now, I told you a while back, Zep, the stat was it's the best 3-point shooting since 2019. Now they've surpassed the shooting percentage from three of 2019, the final 14, just barely, but they've edged it out for now. They're shooting at a higher clip from three than that final four team, and I think that's something that's where you want to be. That's definitely that's good company to be in as you move throughout this season. I got to talk about Todd's dunk, man. Todd with the breakaway windmill. Zep, I've never seen this before. Okay, you may have because you played a lot of basketball and you've seen a lot of guys do this, but Tahad shoots with his left hand, but he dunks and finishes at the rim with his right hand. I've never seen that before. Is he, you know more about him than most. Is he right-handed? He just shoots left-handed? Like I've never seen typically when you're shooting left-handed, your dominant hand when you dunk, like that's going to be the hand you go to, right? Not the other way around.
He's one of those guys. It's weird because he can use both hands. It's
Yeah.
like he can do a right hand floater. He can do a left hand floater. He can dunk with his left. He can dunk with his right. He just shoots with his left, but he
Yeah.
can use both of them. You watch him. He come off screens. He shoots floaters with his right. Shoot floaters. I just don't understand. He have a gift.
Yeah.
It's like a gift and a curse because like if you guard this dude, it's like which way do you send him? When he's going
Yeah.
to the basket, how do you guard that? What do the scouting report say? Is this guy you send him left? You send him right? Are you playing him straight up? You don't understand it because
Yeah, because he can go either way.
he can go either way. He can hurt you going either hand.
Yeah, I've never. It seems like some of his more highlight stuff has been. I'm with you. I've seen him finish with both hands, but it's just weird to me that his shot is left-handed and it's so pretty and he's shooting really well. As is, but then like his highlight reel dunks, I feel like are all right-handed. He had one in AAU that was like went viral, where he dunked on I can't remember who it was. I
Oh
think it was. I
no.
feel like it was somebody that went to Alabama, which people always talk about it. But he did it with his right hand, so I've always thought that was interesting. He is getting better, Zep, and he played 21 minutes, which is good for him. He stayed out of foul trouble, and he didn't turn the ball over. He only had one turnover, which is great because he's been a little bit lazy sometimes with passes. If he can continue to progress, the sky's the limit, man, with his team. Like I just it's like everybody has an opportunity to get better. Like they all can continue to keep better, and if Tahad continues to do this. He loves ranked games. He plays good in ranked games, and you're about to play a bunch of them. He's not even scratching the surface yet, I feel like.
No, he's not scratching the surface yet. I feel the same way. I feel like, he took care of the ball that game. He did great things coming in. I just have one flaw we always talk about. I feel like he get comfortable too much sometimes.
Yeah.
I feel like he's a great player. What I seen, he didn't box out a lot. Well, BP was on him, yelling at him like, "You got to box out." And also his defense.
Yeah.
I just feel like he haven't reached his highest peak yet. Even though he's
No.
at a high peak, he have things he can work on. And when he works on those things, I advise some people to stay. I advise some people to look out. Because when he start playing defense,
It's game over.
it's game over.
Yeah, you better go ahead and write the check because that son of a gun's gone. You better get ready because he's going to the NBA. If he can figure the defensive side out, he's just too good. He's too skilled to stay in the at the college level for very long. I hope we get to keep him for at least one more year. With this fifth year thing, man, everybody's gonna come back. That's what's crazy. You might have some eligibility left, man. You should come back
Hey, I
with
would.
this.
Hey, with the way they doing it now, it could be different. But you never know. But hey, I think Tahai Pettiford will be back, and I think he will be our starting point guard next year, for sure.
Zep, if BP called you tomorrow, he's like, Zep, you're not gonna believe this. He goes, we just got a call from the NCAA. They said you got another year. Would you come back? Would you come back? How quick would you be back in Auburn?
That will be a tough choice because I've been out for over a year. But hey, I ain't bringing no clothes, no shoes. I don't care if I got a jacket. I don't care if it's 20 degrees outside. I'm hopping my butt in that car. I'm going straight to Auburn. And I'm going to say, BP, let's get it. Let's go.
Hey, you're gonna be Nike'd up though. I know that. You're gonna have Nike drip everywhere
Nike drip
whenever.
everywhere. I'm talking about shoes coming from the FedEx, UPS, Nike everywhere.
Hey, let me get that. What is that? Wristband? Let me get that. I'm gonna take all. I want all this. I got to get my new wardrobe going. I can't wait. I got so much gear to unload. I can't wait to get all this new Nike gear when it comes in. I know you're excited. I know all the guys are excited too. So, all right, Auburn obviously dominates Mississippi State. They got to go on the road now. Go to Georgia. Georgia plays pretty good at home. They beat Kentucky at home. They beat Oklahoma at home, which is not just a huge accomplishment, but they've gone on the road and got absolutely demolished by Tennessee, where they couldn't score the basketball. And then they also lost on the road to, give me a second. I had their schedule up just a second ago. They lost their home or their SEC opener to Ole Miss, who's actually, we just saw they beat Alabama on the road by 10 points. So Ole Miss is pretty good. Tennessee's pretty good. They've played some good teams. They've played some really good teams. And now that we have to go to Athens, they're a much improved team than they were from last year. They brought in some portal pieces. They added a really, really good big man. Tell me what you think about this matchup. I guess the strengths, weaknesses. What do we got to watch for on Saturday?
Well, Georgia is one of those teams. They're like one of those teams you got to watch out for, because they're gonna try to pack out the arena, whatever you call it, Coliseum, whatever they want to call it. They want to pack it out. They want to beat Auburn pretty bad. They just lost to Tennessee. They got a lot of confidence this year because they're ranked. They haven't been ranked in a couple years. They just got a lot of guys who entered the transfer portal, who have confidence, who've been in college basketball, and they just think they have a chance this year, with any team they play. But I think us coming to this game, I think we need to be very focused on this game. This is a scary game for us. I hate to say it, but it really is, because something about this game, it tells me they're going to play super hard. They couldn't score against Tennessee. That's the only thing that stopped them. But if they could score, the game would be. It'd be a better game than what it
They
was,
played
but
really good defense. They played really
really
good defense in the first half. They held Tennessee to only 26 points in the first half, which is really, really good because Tennessee can score. But then obviously Tennessee got hot in the second half, and then they just kind of pulled away. But one thing that I haven't seen Auburn have to do with, or I guess one without Jahni Broome, haven't really had to play. I guess you had to play the C. God, what is the guy's name from South Carolina?
Collamore Bowles.
Yes, you had to play him. He's a physical big, and we struggled. And now we pulled out that win. But now you got to go on the road and do it. And they have a very physical big man, Asa Newell. who is their leading scorer, scoring 15 points a game. True freshman, 6'11", 230. He's going to be a problem. He's going to be somebody that I'm curious to see. We talked about Dylan and Chaney defending without fouling. Well, they haven't had to do that against a very skilled big guy yet. And big guys tend to figure out ways to get you to foul them. So that is going to be something. That's going to be a matchup that I'm very curious to see how it plays out. Now, he cannot shoot from the he shoots 72% from the free throw line. So he's a fairly decent free throw shooter as well. So if you get him fouled, he can knock him down. So other than that, though, they've got they're a lot of average. They got Blue Kane that can come off the bench and shoot pretty well. They got two guys that shoot in the upper 30s from three, Dakota LeFou and Silas DeMary Jr. But other than that, the biggest matchup to me is going to be how Auburn defends Asa Newell without fouling. That's going to be, to me, that decides the game. Am I way off there?
You're totally correct. That's the guy who they go to when it's key. He's like the engine to their system. He's one of those guys. He plays the game the right way. Everything he does, he's not one of those freshmen that's gonna do the most, doing the most, going to the paint. He's gonna do every single little thing right. When I watch him play, he's one of the best freshmen in the country, without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
So, and their guards are very, very average, but they're also are good guards at the same time because, like I say, they didn't win good games. I didn't watch them play St. John's, watch them play Tennessee, and I just think the way they're playing pretty good this year. But we're going to have to come with a great game plan, which BP is going to come with a great game plan. But like you said, stopping Ace and Newell and not getting those guys in foul trouble, this is going to be crucial.
Yeah, big time, big time. So yeah, definitely Auburn's got to go make it happen. It's their second game without Janai. Then they have a week off, and then they play Tennessee. And with the way he's walking around already in that boot, I just feel like he's going to be back for Tennessee. I don't know why. I don't have any intel that suggests that, but it seems like they're going to have to. He's going to have a major setback before Tennessee. I got one more question for you, and then we'll get out of here. Let me ask you this. Let's say they go to Athens and just stroke them by another 20, something like that. If you're BP, are you thinking now are you thinking, hey, we don't necessarily, should we play Janai? Should we play him at home? Or should we continue to rest him? Does the outcome Saturday change if he's like, let's just say he's like 80% or 75%. Could go against Tennessee, but you go out there and you dominate Georgia just after you dominate Mississippi State. Does it make you second guess possibly playing him? I'm just curious what you think there.
Well, with the tools they have, being one of the best sports medicine in the country, I totally think Janai will be playing against Tennessee. He gonna be playing, but if to answer that question, we back out there.
He's
We back
back out
at
there.
it.
No, I
We
love it.
back at it. We making
Let it
history.
rip. Let it
We
rip.
making history, and the reason why we making history, we want to beat Tennessee, and
Yeah, we
we
want that
also.
number one overall seed. That's what we want.
No more over our seat. And I hate to say it, I said something on a post today. They had Cooper Flagg number one in National Player of the Year rankings. And I comment on the post and said, it's no way Janai Broome missed one game and he shouldn't be the player of the year. Like, well, I hate to say this, but it's no reason why he shouldn't be number one.
No, I know. I know. I think he's still up there in KenPom as far as like one of the most efficient players in college football or college basketball. So he's going to get dinged a little bit because unfortunately, I think Cooper scored like 40 points the last time he went out. So it's going to be tough for him to probably unseat him there. But regardless, I'm like you. Hey, if he can play, let's go. Let's knock out Tennessee, keep that number one ranking, and then keep vying for that number one overall seed. You definitely want to win your home games. I think that if it was an away game, that'd be one thing. But with it being a home game, even if he doesn't start, like let's just say you don't start him maybe and kind of feel the game out. And if you feel like you need him, you can put him in there and go take it. But regardless, big game, gotta get through it. Got to steal a road game anytime you can on the SEC, and that's huge. So, Zep, appreciate you, brother. Tell everybody how they can find you and support you.
On Twitter, RIP_QUAN5. Instagram at RIP_QUAN12.
All right, man. We'll catch you next time. We'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops Podcast.